morning we'll be in the Gospel of Mark again. So if you have if you want to jump in to your pew Bible, that's on page 1063, Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 13, whopping four verses. So I'll give you a moment to get there. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. 14 put in there? 13, okay. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Oh God, would you add blessing to this, both the reading and the preaching of your word. Amen. You know, when we get together, I'm not talking necessarily just about this church service, but when you think about when people gather, we gather for all sorts of reasons. But when we gather, there's certain things we do when we get together. Can you think of a few? Eat. There you go. Good. We're church. Good church folks. We eat. We gather. Maybe not even necessarily when church folks get together. When people just get together in general. They eat together, right? What are some other things? Well, when people get together, they talk, right? You know, we share ideas, we exchange, we have conversation, we talk and have conversation, exchange ideas. Sometimes that goes well. Sometimes it doesn't, right? Sometimes the thing you talk about gets people fired up, you know. Mention politics, right? That can stir things up. Sometimes when people get together, they work on stuff together. I always found that's, like my wife, she always goes out to coffee or tea. She does things with her other. Doing that sometimes with the guys is, but when you do a project together, that's awesome, isn't it? When you work on a project, you work together, work on a car or a computer program, whatever it might be, you're working on a project together. And sometimes when people get together, they worship too. So there's a lot of things we do when we get together. There's one thing I want to focus on this morning, by way of introduction, is introductions. When people get together, sometimes it's necessary to what? Make introductions. Because you don't know the person you're together with, you're with. I find introductions, by the way, is it clear? Like, "Hi, my name is Jamie. Oh, by the way, this is Sally. Would you, Sally is the introductions. You follow me? Okay. So introductions are interesting because if you think about it, on an international scale, well, like when political leaders get together, it's a big deal, is it not, to make introductions? I mean, they'll have a very dress very formally, and they have a position themselves very formally, right, in certain cues. And if the introduction doesn't happen in the right order, it's a little, like a little sleight of hand. So introductions on a geopolitical level can be very, very important, right? As a pastor, it's interesting. I find it very, very important to introduce. Maybe you've even been the recipient of my introductions to people here. I feel like there's someone in the room or in the church that isn't known as well. I'll grab someone, right, and say, "Hey, have you met so-and-so?" Now, what's challenging about, have you found this challenging too, is remembering what? The names, right? And that's really, as a pastor, it's really, like, awkward. Like, you're supposed to know everyone's name, right? And but I found making introductions is really important. It helps people feel, in the know, in the circle. And it just seems awkward to not introduce someone. I want to ask you this question. If you had a chance to introduce someone to Jesus, what would you say? How would you introduce Jesus to someone who doesn't know Jesus, or hasn't met Jesus before? What would you say? Think of that for a moment. You have someone standing here, and Jesus is there, and you want to introduce them to Jesus. What would you say? Okay, yeah, great. If you were to introduce someone to Jesus, would you say, oh, by the way, now let's go back in time, pretend that we're back in Jesus' day, right, and he's becoming popular and you want to introduce him to... Would you have said, oh, this was the guy that went out with the other sinners from Judea and from Jerusalem, that he went out with the other sinners out to the wilderness, out to the Jordan, and was baptized with them, that baptism for repentance and for forgiveness of sins. Oh, welcome. This is Jesus who went out with the sinners. Would you have introduced Jesus to someone who didn't know him in that way? Or rather, well, had you done that, would the person you're introducing Jesus to, wouldn't they have kind of scratched their heads with it? I've heard he's like God. I've heard he's like perfect. What do you mean? He went out with the other sinners and received a baptism of repentance for forgiveness, just like the other sinners did. Well, that would make him what? Would make him a sinner too. Is he under the judgment of God? Is he saying he's a sinner as well? Or, let's try something different. Would you have introduced Jesus this way? After his baptism, this guy, Jesus, he actually was sent out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He was driven out there. And he, for 40 days, he was tempted by Satan. Have you heard of Satan? He was tempted by Satan. And the animals were there. And then the angels had to, like, help him. And the guy's thinking, wait a minute. The desert. The wilderness, that's a place of death. That's a place of curse. That's a place of judgment. Why would your friend Jesus be sent out there unless he is under judgment as well? How would you introduce Jesus? Well, guess what? This is how Mark, the gospel writer of Mark, introduces Jesus. In this book, he introduces him in this such a way. And if we have any gumption, if we're going to in any way receive Jesus as who he truly is, we also have to receive the introduction that Mark gives Jesus. And here's how we're going to do that. In order to receive this introduction that Mark gives us about Jesus, we first have to receive the condemnation of his submission. There's a submission going on in this passage, and Mark first tells us about the condemnation that goes along with that submission. We see this clearly in the text, what I want to say to this is, how do you explain this? Here's a question. How do you explain that Jesus joined repentant sinners? How do you explain that he went with sinners to Jordan? What did Jesus need to repent of? If he joins these sinners for a baptism of repentance, what does he need to repent of? Why is he doing this? Jesus was baptized along with those who were seeking forgiveness. What did Jesus need forgiveness of? What did Jesus need forgiveness for? God's people had failed their God. God, Israelites were guilty and they stood under judgment. And God had promised through the prophets that if one day they would repent fully of their sins and return to the Lord, that God would bring blessing. He would bring them back from exile and bring blessing not only to them, but to the whole world. Those conditions have not been met up to this point. They have not been met. Jesus, though, starts to unfold God's plan. Jesus is the Israelite that never was. Jesus is the Son of Israel, the Son of God that never was, that Israel should have been. Jesus goes out with the sinners. into the wilderness for a baptism of repentance as a representative. He goes out to the wilderness with the sinners to represent them before God. Jesus goes out in the wilderness to seek forgiveness of sin as a representative of God's people. Jesus' baptism is nothing short of his submission to a unique role. His baptism is a submission to a role as a representative. I'm going to risk something, tell a story. We have a dog in our family, and like many of you, and there's a lot of responsibility that comes with a dog, isn't there? One of its requires, it's not so fun, right? It's when you take them to do their business outside. And so the role you have with this is you take the dog out, and in our family, when the dog does his business, you scoop it then and now, and you throw it into the forest then and now. Why? Because when it rains and when it's dark and you have got to take the dog out, guess what happens if it's something still in the yard? You step in it. That is no fun. Yesterday, I asked my son to take the dog out to do the business, right? I came back and I asked him, did you also scoop and flip? No, I didn't. I don't walk out there anyway. Oh, get back out there. Get back out there because guess other people walk out. We had a tussle. We had a tussle because he didn't think it was very important. You know, that part of the role, that submitting to that part of the job really wasn't important to him. Well, I'm the one out there. We're the one out there. He was just filling in. He didn't want to submit to that role, did he? In Jesus' baptism, we see him submitting. Mark is getting us into this mindset that Jesus is submitting himself to something that is incredible for the rest of his life, the rest of his ministry. And I'm going to give you some big words this morning. You ready? He's submitting himself to a vicarious, substitutionary representation. Woo! A vicarious substitutionary representation. You know what vicarious means, don't you? You would live vicariously through someone. You've heard that phrase before? Someone is doing something, and you're so tied into that that you get benefit by living vicariously through them. What Jesus is about to do in the gospel, we get a benefit from vicariously, what he accomplishes. A substitution. We all know that word, substitutionary. When you don't perform well in a game, guess what happens? The substitute comes in. Your performance doesn't match up. Jesus is a substitute. And then he's a representative. Because this, it's not just a haphazard substitute. It's actually been officially honored and designated. A representative from God has been sent. This really does explain what happens in the rest of this scene. You get the heavens are torn open. Jesus' submission to this role is being acknowledged by heaven. The heavens are torn open. Right? God is acknowledging that Jesus has submitted himself to this role of a vicarious, substitutionary representative for his people. The Spirit of God descends upon Jesus, empowering him for this role. And then the voice of God comes from heaven, right? God himself acknowledges Jesus' submission to this role. You are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Israel had failed. They were often in the Old Testament called God's son, but now the true son of God had arrived, the one that was going to do what Israel should have done. Here's an Israelite that would live vicariously. Here's an Israelite that would be fully surrendered to God's judgment, fully returned to him, fully live an obedient life to him, fully returned. And Mark's gospel is opening up. He introduces us to him in part, in first few uses, but now here's the real Jesus. The Jesus that is going to be this substitute, this representative. Why is this? Why would Jesus take on the role of being this vicarious, substitute representative. Well, in the gospel, it's the beauty. It's so that you could say, Mark, he is pleased with you. This is you are my daughter, and I am fully pleased with you. Jim, you are my son. I am fully pleased with you. Carol, you are my daughter. I am fully pleased with you. We needed a representative in order for someone to do what we couldn't do, so that we ourselves would have this blessing from heaven and be told we are pleasing to him. It's a pretty radical, life-altering transaction that happens, but it's what happens in the gospel. So first we have the condemnation of the submission, but second, we have the consequence of his submission. The text introduces us to this idea that Jesus is this celebrated, right, from heaven, heavenly celebrated substitute. But there's an immediate consequence for Jesus, having submitted himself as this vicarious substitutionary representative. What is it? It's an immediate consequence. Notice what happens. The same Spirit that descended upon Jesus to give him power, to empower him, does what? Drives him out into the wilderness. Drives him out into the wilderness. We should be a little scared at this in one regard. The Spirit of God is not safe. He has more business to do with Jesus. He drives him out of the wilderness. Let's go deeper into the wilderness. They're at the edge of the wilderness of the Jordan. But I want to take you deeper, Jesus, into the wilderness. I have work for the Son of God to do. And Jesus, does Jesus push back? Does he say, no, this isn't something I'm going to do? No. He lets himself be driven into the wilderness to be confronted. Why? Confronted with Satan himself. There's some things going on here with this location. In fact, there's a similarity not only in the Spirit. The Spirit's the one that has descended upon Jesus. He's now the one that drives him in the wilderness. But there's also what? They're going into the wilderness. What is it that Israel, where did Israel spend 40 years? In the wilderness. Did they fully return to the Lord? Did they overcome every temptation in the wilderness? No. They were succumbed to, in fact, temptations in the wilderness. How many? For 40 years. Well, Jesus goes for 40 days. There's great similarities here, if you will. And so what is it? Jesus is representing God's people. He's the one that's going to prove himself faithful where? In the wilderness, where God's people never did. And he's going to do it for 40 days. And then you'll find also, point out in this section, that there's really kind of an open-ended, it's kind of a lack of finality that Mark gives us. If you read the other Gospels, you'll find that it actually tells us what the temptations were. It'll tell you what Jesus' response was. It'll show you that Jesus did pretty darn good for those temptations. Does Mark do any of that? He didn't do any of that. What's up, Mark? In fact, where does the scene end? I mean, it's football season now, right? We're nearing the end. And, you know, injuries rack up. And you might see a guy on the sidelines and they got ice on his knee and people are attending to them. It's like, is he going to go back in or not, you know? What does it say of Jesus in this text? The angels are ministering to him. It's like Jesus got Band-Aids on and he's hungry, he's tired, and the angels have to minister to him. Mark, it doesn't say how it turns out. Why would that be? Introductions. This Jesus I'm introducing you to is someone who is going to be vicarious, substitutionary representative, and he's just getting started. He's just getting started suffering for you. He's just getting started being faithful for you. He's just getting started confronting Satan for you. Game on. From now on, his whole life, his whole ministry will be about confronting sin, about living faithfully, about being tempted, and he will prove himself faithful. Watch and learn. Watch and rejoice. Watch and see your substitute in action. Mark does this for a very, very important reason. He wants us to see that Jesus is now going to accomplish this representation for us. What do you think about that? What do you think about that Jesus, this is just the beginning of his temptations. This is just the beginning of his sufferings. This is just the beginning of his proving himself faithful as a representative for you and I. What do you think about that? I'll go even one step further. What do you feel about that? What do you feel about that? At any moment, Jesus could have what? Thrown in the towel, right? And said, I'm done. I am done. I don't need this hassle. I do not need this hassle. You're the ones that are guilty. You're the ones that have to show yourself faithful. But he didn't. He didn't. At any moment, Jesus could have raised the white flag of surrender, right? And said, this isn't really necessary. Let's just get onto the cross. Let's just get onto the cross. All they need is someone to die for their sins. He didn't do that, though. At any moment in his life, when Jesus is confronted with Satan and temptation, he could have played the God card, right? I'm God. Satan, I created you. Get out of here. But no. Starting for him there in the wilderness and for the rest of his life, he willingly confronted Satan. He willingly was tempted. There had to be one proved faithful in order to bring blessing to us. Here's the point. Please, please do not believe the lie that salvation is free. Do not. Do not believe the lie that salvation is free. It might be free for you and I, but it is earned. It is earned. Not just by our earning, our doing, though, is it? It's by Jesus' doing. Why? So that when we stare at our own sin, when we stare at our own temptations, we don't have to say, I'm under condemnation. No, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we don't have to say, I'm doomed when I fall under temptation. No, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. This morning, will you receive the introduction that Mark gives us for Jesus? Will you receive Jesus again? Will you receive him as your vicarious, substitutionary representative? One who did what only he could do that we should have done. The one who stood under judgment and the one who confronted evil for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it's unfathomable that you would number yourself among the sinners unless you're being that vicarious, substitutionary representative for us. It's unfathomable that you would be baptized, a baptism of repentance and forgiveness, unless you were being our substitute. You were being the Son of God. You were being the Israelite. You are being the man that was needed for the hour. Lord, help us as in this journey of seeing who you are. Help us to receive this picture, this person that Mark portrays you in all its fullness. And Lord, help us to identify with you in all ways that we ourselves might conquer our temptations. And we ourselves might experience the freedom and the joy of not being condemned, but being called son or daughter in whom God is well pleased. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.